Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and we're delighted to have you as our listener guest today on Let's Face the Issues. Before we get into our monologue and the discussion of our broadcast today, let me just give you a little brief insight as to where we're going in the next few weeks, a few days, the balance of this week and next week. Tomorrow we'll be interviewing John Rutherford, the 4th District U.S. House of Representatives that represents us for this district. John Rutherford, one of our representatives, that we're going to be asking some questions about what they're doing in Washington, especially in relationship to the potentiality of some type of gun control. Then on Friday, we'll be interviewing our 6th District Councilman, Matt Schellenberg. So let me give you those heads up so that for tomorrow and Friday, if you have questions you'd like to ask John Rutherford or Matt Schellenberg, there are a lot of things, hot topics going on in the city of Jacksonville with the city council members. And there are several things that we'll be discussing with Matt on the interview on Friday. So let me encourage you to be listening in carefully. Then next week, for the entire week, we'll be covering several serious issues. Gun control. What is gun control? What should we do in relationship to the shootings that we've had recently? Another subject we'll be discussing will be selling JEA, the Jacksonville Electric Authority. Should Jacksonville sell JEA? Where will the money go? Some $4.2 billion, I understand, or better. What will be done with the money? Who will be responsible for making that decision? The third issue we'll cover in our next week's broadcast, pot shops in Jacksonville. What are we going to do when we have pot shops, marijuana shops, on every street corner in our city? What are parents to do? What are we to do as leaders? How should we respond as Christians? And the fourth issue that we'll cover next week in our broadcast, should we the people, that is you and me, should we the people, should we have the right to be able to challenge what the city council says about the laws and the regulations for our city? Government is supposed to be for the people, of the people, and by the people. And yet I understand, according to the general counsel's office, that the people make up a supermajority, and we don't have the authority to override city government. What? Who says so? Where is that in our constitution, either state constitution or national federal constitution? So those are things that I wanted you to have a heads up on that we'll be discussing and broadcast in the days to come. And so I pray that you'll be tuned in every day. Ladies and gentlemen, as we come to this broadcast today, I want us to talk about a subject. It's appointed unto man once to die. It's appointed unto man once to die. I believe that perhaps you have already heard, and the news is that Dr. Billy Graham, 99 years old, went on to be with the Lord yesterday. Our nation and our world indeed is saddened today as a result of the death of Dr. Graham. His life impacted literally millions of lives around the globe. Billy Graham was considered the pastor's pastor, as some called him. Some referred to him as the Christian Pope, the evangelical Pope of the world. He was a confidant for every president since Richard Nixon. Millions of people, I believe, today are in heaven as a result of Billy Graham's simple message, the simple words, Jesus loves you. Christ died for our sins. Invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Savior. The Billy Graham Crusade spanned decades since 1948. In fact, it was one of the larger tent revivals in 1948. Billy Graham that the head of one of the America's largest newspaper chains. And I find this fascinating, ladies and gentlemen. The head of one of the nation's largest newspaper chains in 1948 sent out a message to all of the reporters across the nation in the chain of papers that he owned at that time. And the word to the reporters was to puff, that's P-U-F-F, puff Graham. He was talking about building him up in the news, building him up in the newsprint, saying a lot of good things about him, promote Billy Graham. And of course, the newspaper magnate wanted to see if Graham was real. He wanted to see if he was authentic. He wanted to see if he was one of the fly-by-night charlatans that were prevalent in that era, and yes, even today. Well, the world knows the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would call it. Billy Graham is said to have preached to over 215 million people in his crusades, with millions saying yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Here's a news article produced by Fox News. Let me just read you a few statements and blurbs from this news announcement. The Reverend Billy Graham, prominent Christian evangelist, dead at 99. The Reverend Billy Graham, the Christian evangelist whose worldwide crusades and role as advisor to decades of U.S. presidents made him one of the best-known religious figures of our time, died Wednesday at age 99 in his home in Montreat, North Carolina. Regularly listed in the polls as one of the 10 most admired men in the world. Further, the article states, his Christian crusades took him from the frenzy of Manhattan to isolated African villages, according to Billy Graham Evangelistic Association website. He preached to more people in live audiences than anyone else in history. The Billy Graham Evangelistic Association put his lifetime audience at nearly 215 million people in more than 185 countries and territories, with hundreds of millions more viewing him on television, video, film, and webcast. Quote, my one purpose in life, Billy Graham said, quote, is to help people find, a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, which I believe comes through knowing Christ as Savior. The article goes on to state, at the age of 15, Billy Graham made his personal commitment to Jesus Christ at a revival meeting in Charlotte, North Carolina. After attending Bob Jones College and Florida Bible Institute, Graham was ordained a Southern Baptist clergyman in 1939. Ruth Graham died June 2007 after 64 years of marriage to Billy Graham. Ladies and gentlemen, today, Ruth and Billy are in heaven celebrating around the throne with Jesus. One person said in an article that I just read, Billy Graham spoke to about 2.2 billion people during his pulpit ministry. I don't know of any better legacy that can be left behind. Billy Graham and his wife served the Lord for their lifetime, and now they are around the throne of the Lord Jesus, the one whom they so dearly loved and served. Franklin Graham has taken the ministry lead, and he has now for several years, in the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Due to his dad's frailty in older years, but the legacy of Billy Graham will live on in the lives of millions of whom his ministry impacted. May I say, multitudes of avid professional people, multitudes of lay people, multitudes of pastors are today serving the Lord Jesus Christ because of Billy Graham's life, ministry, legacy of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Billy Graham's simple message was that which reached many of the politicians, Hollywood moguls, businessmen, ordinary people in all walks of life. The simplistics of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, the gospel doesn't have to be complicated. The gospel message is very simple. Jesus Christ is God, come in the flesh, died on the cross, shed his rich red royal blood for sinners such as you and I. And by faith in the shed blood of Christ, we can have eternal life. And that's the simple message. With all that said and done, ladies and gentlemen, in my brief monologue about the life, ministry, and the death of Billy Graham, there's one common thread, one simplistic fact about the life of Billy Graham. One should pay attention very carefully. And the fact is, the scripture says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. So there are two or three facts that I want us to talk about in the balance of this broadcast time today, in light of the life, ministry, and death of Billy Graham, the world-famed evangelist preaching Jesus. Fact number one, ladies and gentlemen, everyone listening to my voice today, yes, that's you, everyone listening to my voice today, that's everyone that's tuned in, if you're listening today, it includes you, everyone listening to my voice will one day die. We do not live forever on this earth. It's appointed unto man once to die. And may I remind us, in the text of the scripture, in that verse in Hebrews 9:27, may I remind us that fact is that back and back and back before the beginning of time, God predetermined when you would be born, when I would be born. God has already predetermined the precise moment that life will leave your body. The common denominator in all of society, regardless of your position, your possessions, regardless of your pride and prestige, regardless of your credentials, regardless of your ethnicity, your background, regardless of who you are in society, one day, ladies and gentlemen, you will die. I will die. That's a biblical, theological, doctrinal, absolute fact. That's fact number one. Fact number two, immediately following death, hear me, listen up, immediately following death, the very moment life ceases in this body physically, we will be launched into eternity. The Apostle Paul said, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He was talking about Christians. The moment you breathe your last breath, the moment breath leaves this body, eternity awaits. Eternity is real. Where will that be? By the way, ladies and gentlemen, there's no such thing as limbo. There's no such thing as purgatory. There's no such thing as reincarnation. There's no such thing as a second chance. There's no such thing as going to a priest and having him pray you out of purgatory or pray you out of limbo. That thing does not exist in the reality of the Word of God. So, ladies and gentlemen, fact number one, everybody's going to die. Fact number two, immediately following death is eternity. But there's a third fact that I want us to think about. Fact number three, the Bible teaches there are only two places in eternity. That's heaven and hell. Everyone listening to my voice today, you will either at your death go immediately to heaven or immediately to hell. No, sir. No, ma'am. There's not a limbo. There's not a purgatory. There's not a holding tank. There's not a place that some get all confused and call it paradise and saying paradise is a holding tank. One part of the holding tank is those that are good and one part is bad. And then one day there'll be the separating out and they'll be delivered to heaven and delivered it. No. That's not a fact at all. Biblical fact is heaven and hell. That's the only two places. And immediately following death, you are in one of those places. Ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to that place called heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ himself made the statement in John 14, verses 1, 2, and 3. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Verse 6 says, "Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." Ladies and gentlemen, that place called heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. You can't go to heaven, ladies and gentlemen, because you're a good person. You don't go to heaven because you pay your bills. You don't go to heaven because you don't cuss your wife and kick the cat and beat the dogs. You don't go to heaven because you're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian. You don't go to heaven because you're any of the isms or schisms, as I call it, in the world. You don't go to heaven because you're a church member. You don't go to heaven because you tithe. You don't go to heaven because you sing in the choir. You don't go to heaven because you're an American. You don't go to heaven because you're a member of some sorority or some goose, the moose, the guy at the loose club. You don't go to heaven because you wear some sophisticated ring of some club that you are a member of. You're not saved because you're the daughter or the son of a pastor, or your granddaddy, your grandma loved Jesus. You go to heaven by invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you. Hear me. It's not by osmosis. It's not by being a good person, not by being a Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian. It's not by being any of these things. It's by being blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again. And ladies and gentlemen, according to the Scripture, there's not but two places. That's heaven or hell. And you can escape hell and go to heaven by saying yes to Jesus. The Scripture says, Jesus speaking, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. And many," we get our word megas, mega, "many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few," we get our word minuscule from that, "few," minuscule number, "that find it." May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that the gate is straight, narrow, few that enter into it. So perhaps I'm talking to someone today that you have thought for all of these years that you're all right because you're a good person, because you pay your bills, because you go to church, because you're a tither, because you sing in the choir, because you try to live right, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, infinitum. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not the story of the Scripture. You go to heaven because you're blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again. If a person says yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, that is the only key, that is the only ticket that gets us into the very presence of God. Matthew 25:21 talks about those that have done good, if you will, those that have been obedient to the kingdom purpose of God. And I don't know about you, but ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking forward to hearing the Lord Jesus say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That was one of the things that Billy Graham said for so many years that he looked forward to hearing. "Well done." Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." You see, the thief turned and looked to Jesus and said, "Remember me." And Jesus said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. That thief didn't have an opportunity to become a Baptist. That thief didn't have an opportunity to become baptized. That thief on the cross dying did not have an opportunity to tithe. He didn't have an opportunity to do good works. But he called on Jesus Christ. I want you to understand today that we can say with all integrity and honesty, based on the life and work of Billy Graham, that he's entered into his reward. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into thy reward." So, ladies and gentlemen, if that's your desire, if that's what you want, if that's what you would like to have to happen to you after life leaves this body, after there's a cessation of life, would you like to be in heaven? That's the only way. In fact, John 3:16 is a text that many understand but have not fathomed the depth of it. Jesus said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Ladies and gentlemen, the eternal life, the everlasting life, is yours simply by saying yes to Jesus. John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath," present tense and future tense, "everlasting life," eternal life, abundant life, "and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath," the thumos, "the white hot anger, the judgment of God abideth on him." Ladies and gentlemen, the only way that you can know that you have eternal life is by saying yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. But I want us to understand not just the fact of heaven, but there's the fact of hell. Ladies and gentlemen, hell is real. Hell is a place to be shunned and not to be striven for. But ladies and gentlemen, when you die, if you have not said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, that other eternal abode called hell awaits you. Now, I know there are a lot of folks say, "Well, if I die, I'll go to hell and have a party with my buddies." No, you won't. There are a lot of folks that will say, "Well, hell is not real." By your declaration that it's not real does not in any way destroy the fact of hell. You can disavow, you can disallow, you can demean, you can doubt, you can say all manner of dispersion against the reality of hell, and that doesn't change the temperature in hell one bit. You see, it is a place of eternal death. It is a place of dying. It's a place of weeping and darkness. It's a place of aloneness. It is a place of absolute torment. In fact, in Luke's gospel, the 16th chapter, it's talking about two men. Both of them had an opportunity in life. Both of them died. That's the common denominator, ladies and gentlemen. Billy Graham has just passed through that doorway of death, and we all do that. We shall all pass through that doorway called death. But in Luke chapter 16, verse 19 and following, the scripture says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass," listen, verse 22, chapter 16, Luke's gospel, "and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." And then the scripture goes on to talk about the great gulf that's fixed. It's an impossibility for a person to leave where we are and go to put that tip of that water on the tip of the tongue of the one in hell. It's an impossibility for the one in hell to come and to return here. In fact, the scripture goes on, and that unit of thought talking about the rich man begging for the opportunity to send a witness to his five brothers that are on their way to hell also. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Hell is a very real place. Hell is a prepared place for the devil and his angels, according to Matthew 25, verse 41. It's not a prepared place for man, but man makes a determination and a decision that that's where he's going to spend eternity by refusing to say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. I've got a manuscript in manuscript form now that will be in book form and should be published sometimes in May or June of this year. The title of the book is Please Don't Go to Hell. Please Don't Go to Hell. And the subtopic of the title of that book is The Biblical Doctrine of Hell. And ladies and gentlemen, it'll be a book of about 130 pages. And in that book, I plead with people, please don't go to hell. Because you see, according to the scripture, hell is a place for debauchery. Revelation 21:8 and 21:22-15. Hell is a place of darkness, outer darkness. Matthew 8. Verses 11 and 12, hell is a place of destitution, that is, weeping and gnashing of teeth, Luke 13:28. Hell is a place of distress, Luke 13:28. Hell is a place of doom. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, eternal doom. Matthew 25:41. It's not a place you return from. There have been books written and programs produced of someone, and there's been a few that said, one was that he had died and gone to hell and was there 38 seconds. And God sent him back so that he could warn the world of the desperate dangers of hell. Ladies and gentlemen, that is simply a lie. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. There's no second chance, no second opportunity. There's no coming back. This rich man in Luke chapter 16, by the way, he wasn't in hell because he was rich. The beggar wasn't in heaven because he was poor. It simply illustrates the two facts of society there in the Luke 16 text. The beggar was there in heaven because of his faith and confidence in Jesus Christ. The rich man was there because he had rejected heaven, rejected Christ, and was there because of his lostness. Ladies and gentlemen, death is the equalizer of us all. But you have an opportunity today to say yes to Jesus Christ. Because, see, not only hell is a place of debauchery and a place of darkness, a place of destitution, a place of distress, a place of death, it's a place of ultimate doom. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Satan, that's the prince of the power of the air, according to Ephesians 2:2. Satan, the one that's the ruler in the wickedness of darkness in this world today, according to the scripture. One day, Satan himself, according to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, one day Satan himself will be cast into hell, that place of fire and brimstone, that place of eternal torture, that place of eternal damnation. So my plea with you today, ladies and gentlemen, please don't go to hell. Please say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. You can do so now. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you're driving, don't close your eyes. But if you're where you can, bow your head and close your eyes. Right now, yes, now, bow your head and close your eyes. Unless you're driving in Jacksonville, Florida. Pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I recognize it. I can't save myself. Though I can't fathom it, I can't fully understand it. I believe that Jesus Christ is God, that he came in the flesh and died on the cross for me. Had I been the only person in the world to save me from my sins, I confess that I'm a sinner. Forgive me, Lord Jesus, of my sins. Come into my heart and save me. Help me to live for you, Lord, because you died for me. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you prayed that prayer, you're saved. You've just been born again, blood-bought, Bible-saved. Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, awaiting that day when death leaves your body. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now you need to be involved in a local New Testament church where the Word of God is preached. You need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. You need to be obedient to what the Scripture says. The only way that's possible is to feed on the Word, study the Word, and be under the Word as it is proclaimed. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that this broadcast has been a blessing to you. I pray that you've said yes to Jesus Christ. I pray that you're going to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you for joining us on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.